Megan Hopper hopes to combat the negative effects associated with sexualized popular music content. The American Psychological Association has formed a task force to examine the messages in music lyrics and videos and how they impact young people. Hopper was recruited by the APA to be a part of the task force due to her past research that looked into music video influences on viewers. Hopper says the group addresses what needs to be done, what hasn't been done, and what the task force could do in order to make a change in the music industry. Hopper says her research had her trying to find a balance between artists whose work was highly sexualized and content that was not sexualized. And that turned out to be difficult.
And that was just the first initial impression. We weren't even trying to do a sort of content analysis study looking at the number of artists that engage in this. But it was striking to me that, okay, we're researching the right stuff. If it's very difficult for me to find women who aren't sexualizing and objectifying themselves. And so it took quite a while to find that. And then when we did, we identified and isolated these three artists, Hilary Duff, Beyoncé, and Fergie, because they did have videos that were, well, we couldn't even classify them as non-sexually objectifying. We classified them as low because there was still some objectifying nature of them, but it wasn't as egregious as the highly sexually objectifying content from them. So we selected those videos. We had some young college-age men and women come in and view the videos. We had one group view the highly objectifying videos of each of the three artists, and we had another group view the low sexually objectifying videos. And what we found is, for the men particularly, the men who viewed the highly objectifying videos of Beyoncé, Fergie, and Hilary Duff, then when they took surveys assessing their amount of agreement with items assessing their beliefs in sexual harassment and justification for interpersonal violence and some rape myths such as, you know, women who dresses in a sexy way is asking for it. The men who viewed the highly objectifying videos were more likely to agree with statements such as that and to be more accepting of interpersonal violence than the men who watched the low sexually objectifying content.
You know, this must be an ongoing problem because I remember in college watching MTV and people getting up in arms about Madonna.
Yes, and Madonna and Britney Spears, the contemporary sort of, and Lady Gaga of Madonna, that has been the debate of a lot of research. You have one side saying that they are actually demeaning feminine ideals and, you know, by placing a focus on their bodies, it takes away from their other talents and makes young girls particularly think that I have to look sexy, I have to act sexy, or I won't.
Or I won't be accepted.
Correct. And I won't be valued.
Is there an argument for these women are empowering? They're
Yes.
taking control of their own sexuality?
Yes. There is that argument that they are actually really fueling the belief that women are powerful and they're just as, I mean, Madonna was considered the queen of pop, you know, as opposed to Michael Jackson being the king, and really kind of took precedence at a time which many said was dominated by your singular male musical artist. And so there is that side that says, no, she's teaching girls and women to appreciate their bodies. And now the same is being said of Lady Gaga, and really embracing their beauty.
I can imagine women saying that, but I can't imagine a guy saying that.
Correct. And that's then the other argument.
So how pervasive is pop music video imagery with regards to sexuality? I mean, is it just steeped?
It is steeped. And in fact, and doing the work with the task force and looking over the past decade and more of research in this area, it's not just the pop genre. In fact, genres that we have typically considered as being safe, and I put that in air quotes.
You mean like country?
Yes, exactly. Ooh. Country has now become sexualized, and not on the scale of pop and certainly rap and R&B, but still to the extent that it's made, especially since 2010, has increased.
Do we see listeners being younger and younger and younger getting impacted by this type of imagery?
Yes. And some of that is industry and radio guidelines have changed over the years. The FCC has certainly relaxed standards and regulations on what can be broadcast at certain times and to certain audiences. And also the rise of the internet and social media. So it used to be when MTV actually was music television, there was a time in which MTV could safely, without getting FCC backlash and being fined, they could air the racier content. And it was typically believed that that was a safe harbor time in which children were not going to be viewing it. Now you see music videos all over the internet, and there's no regulation except for if a parent is personally responsible for regulating that. And you see, even if a young individual isn't outwardly going out and seeking this content, if it's being shared on social media, they're seeing it whether they're wanting to or not. And again, for a parent to regulate that, that's very difficult.
Okay, Megan, as a part of this task force, are you formulating any kind of a plan to deal with this?
Yes. We have a multi-step approach to what we're doing. What we're doing right now is just the basic reviewing of research over the years, looking at what has been found in terms of amount and frequency of sexualization in lyrics and imagery, as well as the effects that have been found in experimental and survey research. Our next steps are to take this sort of background research and evidence for how pervasive this is and the effects that it can have on individuals, and take that to other scholars, of course, but at a higher level, politicians, policymakers, and the music industry, and also to parents and educators as part of a music literacy plan. We're not as confident that we can make foundational or significant change on a political level or on a music industry level. But we are confident then that if changes aren't going to be made, at least right away, we can equip parents and educators and music listeners then to, when they are exposed to this type of content, they can be more critical and be better equipped to combat the negative influences.
Megan, how important will social media be to achieving your goals?
I think it's incredibly important. Certainly if it is someone who is in an influential role. I just read research that found that when individuals encounter news or information on social media, what is most influential to them is not the original source of that news or information, it is who shared it.
So if somebody's retweeting something, it's the person who's doing the retweeting.
Exactly.
So if you could get Beyoncé to retweet some of your stuff, that would be pretty impactful.
That would be humongous. And that would be an ultimate
dream come true.
Yes, an ultimate goal, but we're thinking even if it's someone who is an older sibling or someone who is seen as by a younger individual or any individual as being successful or powerful or cool, that if they're saying, hey, I really like this Fergie song, but man, when I'm thinking about her messages, I'd really like it if Fergie just focused on her voice or, you know, something else, female empowerment.
Heard you in the mood for a little milkshake. Welcome to the Dairy Duchess Love Factory. I could whip it up, fix you up straight away. Come on in the front door, leave it at the back door. Whip it, flip it, hey.
And for a younger individual to see that on social media and be like, oh, I never thought about it in those terms, that we think would be very influential.
What do you think of the Pink song Stupid Girl? It kind of addresses what we're talking about here.
Stupid girl, stupid girl.
Yes, we could point to several, not many, but examples out there of female artists who are turning the stereotypes and this on their head. Pink being one of them, although she has still been criticized by researchers as dressing scantily.
She's having it both ways.
Yes, and there could be arguments being made, and certainly I think Pink maybe have made arguments that was her way of being able to break into the industry. You have to do these things.
So be sexy to get your foot in the door, and then stand up to it and say, you know what, not so fast, guys.
Yes, and you know, you've let me in the door, I have this fan base now. Now it's my turn to make my own music. And that's what Kelly Clarkson has done. And also, I would say the most contemporary example of the female musical artists that have really turned this on its head is Adele. And she refuses to dress in a certain way, to bow down to the industry pressures, to dance in a suggestive manner, or make her lyrics focus on any of the, you know, ways that she looks or acts sexy. But I just recently read that she is saying she'll stop touring soon. And I wonder if some of that is pressure to do this. But going back to your suggestion of social media allowing for this, we've seen a lot of artists go outside of the record label route to independently release their music and reach a fan base. And those artists are the ones that are successfully able to not have to dress in a scantily clad manner and not have to reduce their lyrics to speaking about their and other females' bodies. But they're probably not making as much money, which is unfortunate.
So do you feel at all hopeful for the future?
I do. And part of that is because I love music myself. I love media, and I am an optimist. So I am hopeful that our research and others' research will be able to make a change. And I'm hopeful, as a Beyoncé fan myself, that she will, learning of our research, want to do anything she can to make positive changes. And she already has in some ways. I just hope to be able to continue with this and our ultimate goal is to make change on whatever level we can make.
That's Megan Hopper from the Illinois State University School of Communication. Hopper acknowledges that the task force has a lot of work ahead of it and says that they hope to become a standing committee in order to continue their work. I'm Laura Kennedy.